Hi, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for the Lab Medicine Journal. Today, I have with me Dennis Ernst. He's the executive director of the Center for Phlebotomy Education, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about blood culture contamination.
You know, this is something every laboratory struggles with. Controlling blood culture contamination rates is the bane of every hospital. It's one of the biggest problems plaguing laboratories, and it's one that we get calls about frequently and are asked to come and provide in-services on and troubleshoot all the time. So it's a big problem not just for the laboratory, but it really plagues every patient and every physician that's involved in a false positive result that suggests that the patient has a bacteremia when he or she does not. And it's not just the inconvenience of being unnecessarily hospitalized and treated, but the cost of the facility is really outrageous. I'm seeing multiple studies that provide us with ranges of about $2,900 to up to $8,700 per contaminated culture. So these are the dollars that the hospital has to allocate to treat every patient for a positive blood culture that's contaminated. How do we control our contamination rates? Well, that's what I want to work on today, and at least get our listeners started on a plan, a strategy, because so many of us are frustrated. We don't know where to go. We know we got a problem. We don't know how to solve it because it's so huge and it involves so many members of our staff. So now, mind you, this strategy I'm going to lay out here is a condensed version of a larger lecture and one that you can preview in its entirety on our website at phlebotomy.com. But here's what you can start thinking about to get the wheels turning where you work. First of all, you got to track every department where blood cultures are drawn, and you're probably doing that. But if you really want to get serious, you track every individual who draws blood cultures as well, so you can find out where your attention needs to focus first. It's nice to know the departments that are the shining examples and those that need the most work, but it's nice to know the individuals that are contributing to every department's rate as well. When we track individuals, that's really effective. One study showed that tracking individual blood culture contamination rates and giving them feedback reduces a contamination rate facility-wide by about 50%. So that's huge. Okay, so then we're going to set out to calibrate the entire phlebotomy staff first. These are your champions. These are the ones who are going to set the example for non-laboratory personnel who also draw blood cultures. And if you don't have a phlebotomy staff because you're decentralized, then find your champions and set up a team of specialists who can spearhead your assault on reducing blood culture contamination. Now, these are the people with the fire in the belly, the people who want to make a difference. You've got them in your facility. You just need to identify them and rally them. Now that we've done that, how do you know if you really have a problem? Well, number one, you wouldn't be listening today if you didn't have a problem, so that's a good indicator. And the other one is if your contamination rate is above 2%. 2% is achievable if you're not there yet. And I know of facilities that even have a 1% rate or less, so that's achievable too. But if you're above 2%, then you've got mediocrity going on there when it comes to blood culture collection. So establish your benchmarks first. Know where the hotspots are. That would be your current rates. And be as detailed as you can be, by department and by individual if you can. Remember, the gains here are going to be enormous, but it's going to take some work. And that's why you're going to establish your team of champions who are going to take this thing by the horns and make it their personal goal. Don't try to do this yourself. It's way more than one person can accomplish. You got to have a team of people with the fire in the belly. So establish them, identify them, get your benchmarks, and get your team of champions. And the next thing you're going to do is then reinforce good technique throughout your facility. And you're going to start with your phlebotomists and or your champions. So you're going to recalibrate everybody. This is where you go back and reinforce with them all of the causes of blood culture contamination. You know what I mean, doing a good 30 to 60 second friction scrub, letting the antiseptic dry, not repalpating the site, cleansing bottle stoppers, avoiding draws from existing lines or during IV starts, and that's a CDC best practice, by the way. So getting everybody recalibrated back to eliminating the known causes is really what's going to bring your rate down, getting everybody realizing why it's up. why that rate is as high as it is. Turn your champions loose, and then in a month, or even weekly if you can, compare your rates with your benchmarks and see if it's made a difference. If it didn't, then you weren't taken seriously, more than likely. And if it did, well, then make sure that you reward those champions. See, that's key. People need rewards. We all do. Okay, so at the same time that you turned your retrained champions loose, they can also start mentoring the rest of the staff that draws cultures. So get them to disseminate what they now know and have been reinforced in them, and mentor the rest of the staff. They've got to spread the word. You've trained the trainers. Now it's time for the trainers to train the rest. As time goes by, you're going to see the rates come down, but you can't stop tracking and reporting. And when I say reporting, that means everyone who draws blood cultures knows you're watching the rates like a hawk. So try posting graphic depictions of the rates falling on your charts everywhere that you can. Even if they're not falling, post it. People have to know. Nobody wants to be known as the poorest performing department or individual. So as long as the spotlight is on, there's going to be an incentive to make sure that it doesn't put you in a negative light, right? That's the beauty of posting things. The spotlight is on, and you're going to run out of it if it shows that you're the worst performer. Okay, so that's what you can do without administrative support. But just think about what you can do with it. If you can secure administrative support and get permission to involve others outside of your own department, that's exactly what it takes to make serious gains. And sustained gains. With administrative support, you're going to get a bigger buy-in from your subordinates, those who are involved on the front line, and you're going to get more cooperation from other department heads. To secure this, you've got to be able to articulate the size of the problem in dollars. Lucky for you, contaminated blood cultures are easy to monetize system-wide. So define the problem to your administrators. Define the solution in detail. You got to say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to reinforce good technique with our phlebotomists. And then we're going to retrain everyone else who's drawing blood cultures. We're going to track their progress monthly, and we're going to limit or eliminate line draws. We're going to spend money on food and perks, and we're never going to let our foot off the gas pedal. That's what you say. See, that's how you build a consensus. That's how you get administrative support. And then you provide the benefits to the organization of implementing your strategy. Not just in dollars, but in staff morale, interdepartmental cooperation, patient satisfaction, all of that. Just remember, reducing blood culture contamination rates is like trying to get your kid to eat broccoli. Getting it down is good, but keeping it down is the ultimate goal. So you've got to be able to sustain your gains. And that's where administrative support really helps out. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more to getting your contamination rates down than this, but that's enough for now. I hope I've given you enough in this little preview to help get our listeners really jazzed up, because getting blood culture contamination rates down is imperative for any facility to thrive in today's healthcare environment.